Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1 through 5. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. You left it somewhere and it's caused you to fall. And repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Our thought tonight will be a misplaced priority. A misplaced priority. Unto the angel or the pastor of the church at Ephesus. He said they have left their first love. It's not the first love they ever had. We can recall in our minds that as we begin to grow and be old enough to set our affections on things, some of us can recall how that we set our affections on worldly things. We set our affections on toys and things that you see and feel. And those things were in reality our first love. But when the Lord says, first, here, He's using a Greek word that stands for foremost, in time, place, order, or importance. Primary object of your attention. Jesus was asked the question one time, what is the first commandment? What is the greatest of all commandments? We understand that what he quoted from the Old Testament could fall under the premise of the law, but yet we also understand that what Jesus told them is something that is implanted in the heart of the believer when he's born again. It's something that happens inside of our life. He said, the first, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. We'd be in a hard situation tonight if we were called on to do that without the grace of God. We'd be in a very difficult situation if we did not have the grace of God to wash our sins away and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. But because we're born again, we can take a hold of this first commandment, and we indeed do love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and with all our strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Jesus said in one place, on these two hang the prophets and the law and the prophets. Everything that the prophets said was going to come to pass, it come to pass in this. Jesus Christ, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, Him with every fiber that was in them. They loved Him with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength, with everything. They loved Him. Why? Nothing would get in their way. Nothing would hinder them from communing with Him. Nothing would hinder them from loving Him, from worshiping Him outside the church, in the church, down in the marketplace, wherever they were. That bubbling of the love of God was inside of them. Once upon a time, their priority was to love Him with everything that was within them. In the book of Colossians we read, if ye then be risen with Christ. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Again, this is something else. We'd be in a hard spot to have to do it without the grace of God. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. So everything the Word of God commands, we have been endued with power to do that. To seek those things which are above. To seek those things which are on the right hand. To put our affections there. Lay not up treasures here below, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but set your affections on heaven. It's strange how that, Brother Pastor, we have to tell people to do what's supposed to be implanted in their life. I really have I don't know whether you call it a problem or just a big question mark. Why you have to tell people to love God. Why you have to tell people that say they're saved, say they're full of the Holy Ghost, to have to tell them to act right, talk right, display a little integrity. There's a serious bottom line there. That when you have to tell people to do what God puts in a child's or God's heart when they're born again, that means they have fallen. That means they have left that priority. Because when my love for Him is at top priority, I do everything that pleases Him. I do everything that enlightens His countenance upon me. I do it because He's priority. Pleasing Him is my priority. The psalmist in Psalm 73 and 25 said, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. I have loved ones in heaven. I have loved ones that have lived for God, walked with God, left here in the faith. I don't know if they left speaking in tongues, but they left walking in integrity. All right. Y'all smile at me now. Praise the Lord. They left here with a testimony. Amen. I wasn't with them when they left to know whether they were shouting. I've heard folks shouting and praise God. Let's have enough victory we can shout when the death angel takes us out of here. And I long to see them, but I mustn't set my affection on seeing them and bypass the one who kissed my sins away. And go beyond the one who, beautiful sorrow of Bethlehem, come and show those wise men just where to find Him. And while they were searching after Him, they found where He was at. And when they found Him, they worshipped Him and gave gifts unto Him. That's who I've got to keep my affections on. I'll be glad to see my loved ones that have passed on. But oh, when I see Jesus, there'll be no need of sun there. There'll be no need of the moon. Or Jesus will illuminate that place. Oh, when I get to see Jesus. May I live and walk and talk and maintain that as the priority of my life. Hallelujah. We got a church here that has a problem. They got so many good things going for them, it'd be hard to imagine they've got a problem. Some believe in, and I'm not a deep theological, prophetic intellect. Did I say all that right? Praise the Lord. Some believe each of the seven churches stand for seven different dispensations of time. I see where it can. Also see that where we can see every one of these churches moving around our churches.
Right.
This church here, obviously, if it's a dispensation of time, is right on the edge of the first church. No doubt the first church age. And you saw the power. And you read about the demonstration of the power. Somebody said years ago, said, our church, we're praying, we're fasting, we want to be a church of Acts. We want to be a church like the church of Acts. I wonder if they happen to think about the heads falling off folks back then. I wonder if they begin to think about the persecutions that church had. All they seemed to think about was the power. Thank God for it. But if you're going to be a church of Acts, don't be as far as this church went. Because apparently, somewhere down the road, they left something. Didn't lose it. They didn't lose it. They left it. Beloved, you understand, but some folks don't. You don't lose your salvation. You forfeit it through your spiritual laziness and your mongering after the things of the world. You forfeit that good grace and not maintain the work that God started in your life. He speaks to this church. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his hand. The seven stars, they are the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. He holds them in his hands. And he walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He's walking in the midst of the church. Whether we be gathered together under the one roof or whether we're scattered about in our places of abode, he's walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He's walking and he's observing and he's looking and he's listening. He's listening. My, what is he hearing? He hears us praise him at church. He hears us glorify him in the house of God. Job. What is he hearing, young folks? When you're in school, well, he's walking and he's paying attention and he's keeping a record. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Let's stop there. He says, I know that you are a very, very busy church. You're very busy. And I recommend you for that. I commend you for being so busy. Thank God you're not sitting on your pew and doing nothing. Thank God that moss is not growing on your heels because you just won't move and do nothing. You're busy. I know your works. I know what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. I know how you're laboring. And I know how you're patient. That you don't let things make you crazy with your temper. Shout amen, somebody. I know how you're so patient. You just tend to be able to deal with circumstances and situations that come your way. You're so patient. I commend you for your patience. He's walking. He's in the midst. He knows what's going on. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. You just about get sick when you come into their presence, those who are evil. You can't bear them. It just about gets you sick to be around. I can't bear that crowd the way they're so worldly. The way they're so loose living, the way their lifestyle is, you just can't bear what he's saying is. I know that you cannot bear them, and it just grieves you to see them like they are, and living like they are, and doing what they're doing. It grieves you to see the evil. Does it grieve you, church, to see evil in our day? Does it grieve you? He said it grieved them. They're on top notch here with God. Right now, he's boasting in them. He's bragging on them. They're doing the right things. But it's so easy to do the right things without the right motive, without the right driving force. This thing's not a game. It's not just a series of do-goods. It's a reality that must feel alive inside of the heart of the child of God. We've got to love. We've got to put it at top priority. When it's not at priority, we can still labor. We can still work. We can still do all the good things. But something's going amiss in this church. And he's telling them, I'm fixing to take your candlestick and remove it.
Amen.
You can wonder what he's going to do with it if he has to remove it. He won't display it somewhere for beauty. You're patient. You can't bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. You've put them to the test. I'm standing flat-footed. That is not of God. I think we need to call him before the board. I think we need to deal with him. Huh? I think we need to deal with him. He ain't doing right. There's something wrong. There's a rat in the wood pile. There's something going wrong here. We need to deal with it. We'll bring the brother together. We'll deal with it. We're not going to tolerate sin in the church. We're not going to tolerate sin on the podium. We're going to deal with it. Good job, Ephesus. Good job. Keep that podium clean. Keep that choir clean. Keep the ministry clean. Keep everything out of it that needs to stay out of it. But watch your priorities. Watch your priorities. Oh, and tonight, you might be among us tonight. You might not be saved by the grace of God. You may not really have a hold of this thing. But you say, I will. One day I will. You need to make that priority or you never will. You need to make it priority or you never will. So you've dealt with those that said they're apostles, said they're preachers, said they're holy men. You found them liars and has borne and has had patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. You're still going. After all these years, still moving, still marching on, a busy church, and an intolerant church of sin, a consistent church, and bring it down to an individual basis, a busy individual in the church, an individual that doesn't cotton to compromise. Individual, you won't get that lady to cut her hair off. Huh? You, no way is she going to attire herself like the world. She's very consistent in her outward walk. Very consistent that man is. No, you won't see him in the places of the world. He's consistent. I'm holding on. I'm going to stay right where God wants me to be. I'm going to do the work of the Lord. But things that you don't see in me, and I may not see in you, the one who is walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks, he sees everything. He hears every whisper. He hears every thought. Those thoughts that come in our mind that we know we don't want those to stay, so we, through the sanctification and the blood of Christ, we send them on their way. But he knows when you give them space to linger for a little while. Wow! He's pretty awesome, isn't he? He is. He's so awesome. He knows what we're all thinking. He knows what we're up to in our thoughts. He's walking among the seven golden candlesticks. They're consistently walking with God, but something's missing. He sees something missing that nobody else knows is missing. I don't understand why so-and-so seemed to be so easy led astray like they were. Because I've been watching them. They've been praying when we pray. They've been singing when we sing. They're at church every service. I even hear them say amen every now and then. But how did they fall? Because what you didn't see, the Lord saw at Ephesus. And he called on them to pick it up. To get it fixed. To get it back in line. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy foremost in time, place, order, or importance. You have left the primary object of your attention. I come here tonight under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to ask you, where is your first love? Is it positioned where it was the day you first met Jesus? Is it positioned where you are continually desiring more and more and more of Him? Or has it been left somewhere? God have mercy on us. I love all the parts of church. I love the singing. I love the praying. All the things, the activities that go along with church. If I could eat it, I'd love the pizza part of it. You eat my part. I love all of these things. But we are wrapped in human flesh. And we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. We wrestle with an old man that wants to resurrect himself. Paul said, I die every day. The great and wonderful and powerful preacher, the Apostle Paul, said, I die every day. What's he saying? I purposely, deliberately put my desires and my wants and my passions to death, that Christ will remain the first and foremost object of my attention. We can be so involved in church business until we lose sight of how we ever got in the church. We can get so involved with the business at hand. We can get involved even with our singing until we enjoy Repent. And do your first works. And do the first works. You left your first love. You stopped allowing your relationship with me be the priority of your life. You've stopped making me the priority of your life. Can y'all hear that? You've stopped allowing me to be the priority in your life. I remember 1984, I believe it was. I took a new job, and it was the most marvelous job I've ever had in all my life. Anybody ever got a job like that? You don't act like you. And I thought, this is wonderful. And so I'd come home, Brother Robbie, I'd come home. That's all I wanted to talk about. Malone and Hyde, writing those orders, delivering those general merchandise and those products to that store. Oh, this I just felt like somebody. I mean, that beat toting bundles at a clothing factory. That even was better to me than filling up vending machines, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it was easier. You didn't have to tote a lot of keys around on your belt all the time. I talk about it. They gave me a company vehicle. Driving the company vehicle. I'm a big shot now. Praise the Lord. But something quickened inside of my heart. Boy, where's your priority? I wasn't a preacher of the gospel then. That gives us good evidence. You don't have to be a preacher to watch where your priorities are. But I realized I was beginning to give too much attention. Not so much to the job. I knew I needed to do it right. But I needed to leave it on the job. I needed to keep Jesus first and foremost in my heart and in my thoughts and in my mind. I recognized what was going on. By God's grace, I kept the job and I kept the priority in the right place. Because you can't have two priorities. I really tried to do that another time at a job I had. I had been promoted and well favored with the company. And so when we ought to have been working with at manager meetings. Anybody know how that goes? When we ought to been working with other people learning how to do the work. They've got a lot of time to do the work. So they were doing a seminar thing, and I was sitting there, and God had begun to call me to preach the gospel. And so I was already pastoring a little church and trying to do my best, and it was a small church. I had to work to make ends meet. And so I was down there at that meeting. I think I was pastoring then. And he's talking about, you to do this job right, it's got to be your priority. And yes, yes. And I'm thinking in my heart, to be the preacher that God wants me to be, it's got to be priority. To be the child of God I need to be, it's got to be priority. And so I ask a dumb question. But he gave me an intelligent answer. I said, sir, can you have two priorities? He said, no. Didn't bat an eye. He said, no. And I thought, you might not be a preacher, but you're preaching to me. Because that was the day I determined I shall resign and give my strength and power and source of ability to the ministry more than I've been doing. Because I was wrecking my mind, my emotions, and everything else trying to hold two priorities. I'm not calling anybody to quit your job. Unless God's called you to do a work in the kingdom, and you're letting that job take priority over what God is calling you to do. I'm calling on you to love God enough to trust Him that He'll take care of you. I'm standing here tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm standing here tonight as evidence that when you trust God, He will take care of me. Hallelujah. Somewhere in the avenue of things, they left that first love. They laid it down. They let other things become priority in their lives. He said, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly. I will come unto you quickly.
Praise the Lord.
I will come unto you quickly. He said, do the first works. You ever get a hold of that? You've fallen, you've strayed, you come in the house of God just like nothing's happened, get right back where you was. No, sir. He said, come back and do your first work. Show some repentance. Show some remorse. Show some evidence that you have come back around instead of brushing it all off like nothing's happened. He said, do your first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He said, you do hate the things I hate. You do love the things I love. He's commending them again. But listen, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. A misplaced priority. I'm still shouting. I'm still reading the Bible. I'm still going to prayer meeting. I've still got my place on the pew. But where is your priority? Would you stand tonight? Hallelujah. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and has not fainted. My, you've come too far to turn back now. You've come too far to get slight now. You're still abreast of everything that you need to be, but is your heart in it? Is your heart in it? Brother Ryan and other preachers don't understand what I'm fixing to say. Sometimes the Lord speaks to you days ahead what direction you need to go in. Sometimes you're asking up to the last minute. I felt good liberty and good unction of promotion from the Spirit of the Lord a couple of days ago to bring this to you. To somebody to just simply stop right where you are and think about this. I'm doing all the right things. I can sense the pleasure of the Lord upon me, for I'm doing the right things. But is your heart in it? Is your heart in it? Is your heart in it? Are you wayward tonight, a distance from God, and you say deep down inside, I want to come. I want to come to Jesus, put your heart in your wants. And your feet will bring you to places you didn't think you could come. To bow down at a place in Jesus where you can commit to Him your everything. Well, they begin to sing. I want to invite you. The Spirit of the Lord has quickened somebody in this house tonight. The Spirit of the Lord has nudged on somebody's heart. That preacher's preaching to me. Would you come? Whether you're saved by the grace of God, whether you're not, you recognize your heart, your priority has not been where it needs to be. Do you want to please Him? Do you really want to please Him? I've got a feeling that when we stand before God, He's not really going to do a checklist of all the things we've done for Him. But He's going to take a note of how we did them. How we did them. One man may have reached thousands, another may have reached simply one in his short time with the Lord. He's going to go by that heart. That heart. That heart. I want to please Him. Suppose you're waiting for everybody to come so you can blend in with them. Why don't you be a bold person with a desire tonight? Just go ahead. Step out. Step out. I'm not ashamed that I need the Lord's touch. I need to fix some things. Are you listening to me tonight? The Lord deal with your heart tonight. Move. Make a move for His glory. God, fix my priorities. And the only way Jesus said you can fix them is through repentance. Lord, I've missed it. Lord, I failed. Lord, I'm sorry. Are you listening tonight? Would you come? Would you come? Everybody all right? Is everybody all right? He's walking. He's walking right by your face right now. And He's looking. Thank God for these honest hearts. Thank God for these honest hearts. You don't get too old to recognize I need to make sure everything's all right. You don't get into prime of middle age moving on beyond that to realize I need to make sure. Where's our young people tonight? Young folks, where are you at? You sing beautiful. You worship marvelous tonight. Is your heart in it? Young ladies, young men, is your heart in? Is Jesus the priority of your life? Or do you find things in the daily grind of life that begin to pull on you and you wonder, why is it pulling so hard? You don't pull as hard when your priority is placed on Jesus more than anything else. I'm 59 years old. I still understand the pull of the world, the pull of the enemy. But Brother Ryan, consider this and come and pray. I just want to please. Walking in the midst of you, saith the Lord. Walking in the midst of you. Call upon my name. Call upon me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Seek me as the priority of your life. Desire me as the priority of your heart. First thing you say to the Lord when you talk to Him in the morning is that I love you, Lord. The Word of God teaches us that in the last days there'll be perilous times. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers. It goes on with that prophetic word to say that there'll come a time when they'll have a form of godliness, deny the power of their God. I want that power. It comes through a life of priority.
He said, just love what you could be.
Church into the altar.